We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, excuse me. Did you guys get some rain? Text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Text in town and how much rain you got. I know some people didn't get much. Some people got more than they needed, and not everybody's happy, but it was a crazy storm, and just, it was spotted. But a lot of people did get some rain. I think in Arnett, looks like they got about a half inch. Eric didn't look like it got a whole lot. I didn't check this morning. Let me check right now and see what's, let me just check right now. Rainfall, let's look at the mesonet. Let's go off the mesonet. Here we go. Yeah, looks like at the Eric mesonet was, that's today. Let me back up here. Let's go with 3-day accumulation. All right, now we're on the right map. Okay, Eric got like at the mesonet center is 66 100. Elk City got 1.13 inches. Cheyenne, 1.6 inches. I had a buddy over by Grimes, got 2 inches. I seen on social media last night that Captain Jeff Hedrick with Oklahoma Wildlife Department over at Burns Flat, lives there south of Burns Flat, had 4.2 inches, and like 2.5 or 3 of that came in just a like short period of time yesterday. So somebody got some ponds filled up around there. And then around Hobart, the Hobart mesonet says 64 100s, but it just depends on what side of town you were on at Hobart. I got 1 inch at my house. Looks like at Camargo, they only got a couple of tenths. Woodward, 1/2 inch maybe. Slap out, 1.45 inches. Buffalo, 35 100s. And then somebody, Sayre, here, hang on here. See what he got at Sayre. 2 1/10 inches, so a little over 2 inches there at Sayre. So not everybody got what they wanted, but a lot of people got some that they wanted. And over there, we were in Tulsa yesterday, but on the way up there to Tulsa Saturday night, it was like monsoon season from basically Oklahoma City all the way to almost Tulsa. It was crazy. So anyway, well, got some rain. More in the forecast for Thursday and Friday, and then again next week. Looks like wet weather ahead of us, which is good. Let's check out some temperatures. 68 at Hollis, 62 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 61 at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. 61 at the May Ranch, 61 at the Slap Out, and 63 over at Helena out here in the Texas Panhandle. A little bit cooler, not bad. 59 at Miami, 64 at Wellington, 71 at Odell, and 63 at Childress. I'll have forecast for one of those cities out in the Texas Panhandle coming up for you shortly, and go with that. Non-eventful weekend around my operation. Turned the cows back down in on the bottom. Got them off the hill by the river. They're happier. They're down there in the Bermuda grass. We took them off the bottom down there while we had the hog trap set out, so we didn't have to build nothing around the hog traps. So they were happy to be back down in the bottom where the shade trees and stuff was. My corn that we planted a little over a month ago is looking good. I think it's in the V2 stage. I'm learning this. So anyway, I hope I'm right. It's got like 5 leaves on it, and the 6th one is rolling out of the top. Planted my milo last Wednesday. Got my wheat hay up without getting it rained on. And oat hay is looking, or the oats are looking real good. Hopefully here in about 2 weeks, I'll be making some oat hay. They're about, between knee and waist high down there in that bottom. And then this rain just top them off because they just started heading last Thursday. So everything will be good there. Okay, let's see what happened in overnight. If I can find my deal in the big ag world. Grain and soybeans were higher in overnight trading after an official from the Ukraine said no more talks are scheduled ahead of the expiration date of the Black Sea Grain Initiative that will allow ag products to flow from the war-torn country. The agreement, which was originally implemented at the beginning of August and renewed in November, is set to expire this coming Thursday. Negotiators from Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations met last week to discuss again extending the agreement, but no deal was reached. Wheat prices were given a boost after the USDA last week forecast all wheat production for the 23-24 marketing year that starts on June 1st at 1.65 billion bushels, which, if realized, would be up slightly from the previous year's 1.65 billion bushels. More on that coming up. Analysts polled by Rutgers was expecting the USDA to forecast production of 1.789 billion bushels, capping prices for corn and soybeans. However, were projections for inventories that topped analysts' expectations. Corn stocks at the end of the marketing year on August 31st were pegged by the USDA at 1.47 billion bushels, which would be up from 1.3 billion bushels in storage at the end of the previous year, well ahead of the analyst forecast of 1.36 billion bushels. Soybean inventories will rise to 215 million bushels from 210 a year earlier. Wheat for July delivery overnight jumped 15¾ cents to 6.50¾ cents a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 26¾ cents to 9.03¾ a bushel. Corn futures for July delivery rose 4¾ cents to 5.91 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery were up 11¼ cents to 14.01¼ a bushel. Soy meal gained 6.30 to 4.39.20 a short ton, while soybean oil fell 0.1 cent to 49.42 cents a pound. All right, let's see what's happening in the weather in the ag belt. Rain is expected in parts of northern Missouri and eastern Kansas today, according to the National Weather Service. Some severe storms are anticipated with winds gusting as high as 60 miles an hour. Localized flooding is expected. Flood watches have been issued for much of central Oklahoma through early afternoon as runoff is possible after rainfall in the region. Excessive rainfall or runoff may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone locations. Well, as you guys know, today is Monday, and on the Today in Ag Show, it's the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. I'll have more on them coming up in the next segment. Also, I wanted to get something. I think I didn't know. I really never even thought about it until I started doing the Ag Show. But, you know, they're talking about the El Nino setting in this summer. Well, according to what I've been learning, myself, the El Nino really doesn't affect the summer weather. It will be affecting your weather this coming fall and winter. It's calling for cooler and wetter fall and winter. And so I know we're going into a wetter pattern than we've been in a while right now. Is the El Nino causing it? I don't know. We'll get an expert on one of these days, but I've seen Gary McManus, our state climatologist, on the other day on Oklahoma Mesonet page. You know, he says it does not affect our summer weather. The El Nino's not even set in 100% yet, and probably won't be till next month or maybe even July. But he said it cools, so when it cools, it affects our fall and winter. So, I think we're just getting into wet pattern here for the summer, and we'll just call it the L wet pattern for the summer. Nobody's going to complain about rain in May and June and July, I'm sure, and August maybe. But anyway, just clarify that. I didn't know, but now I do know. If studying weather are a little bit harder than I do, the El Nino does not affect our summer pattern by no means at all, according to the experts, not according to Jimmy Clark. Well, let's take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll talk some on cattle, see what the market's doing there, and see if anything important is coming up for cattle ranchers and producers to they need to know about what's going on with the OCA. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Once upon a time, Jimmy Clark was bit by a rattlesnake, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the rattlesnake finally died. A good afternoon once again to Jimmy Clark's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 8th. 1,204 head were sold, 9 head of steers at 409 brought 266, 12 at 467 brought 258.50, 5 at 562 brought 228, 3 at 605 brought 218, 5 at 812 brought 175, 15 at 845 brought 193.50, 125 at 908 brought 197. 3 head of heifers at 307 brought 251, 9 at 491 brought 230, 4 at 623 brought 191, 16 at 697 brought 165, 7 at 806 brought 181, 46 at 811 brought 182.50, 16 at 886 brought 177.50, butcher cows were 69 to 107, butcher bulls brought 102 to 133.50, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction X is 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, that's a sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, give old Brandon Hickey a call at 580-497-6095, I'm talking 580-497-6095.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire's flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you. It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Happy Cap Hour. I've picked the big town of Wellington, Texas for your update on your weather today. Currently it's 64 degrees there. Humidity is at 83%. Dew points at 59. Wind is out of the north at 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 26. Peak wind gust today, 31 miles an hour. 3.41 inches of rain so far this month for Wellington, which is really awesome for them. That's a kind of a dry area right there in southwestern Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle down there. No red flag minutes or sub-freezing minutes today. Current 8-inch soil temperature in Wellington is 67 degrees. Well, when you are a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you also got to be, you get to be part of many ways that cattlemen give back. The charitable arm of the OCA is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation. The OCF distributes over $25,000 in scholarships each year, organizes internship programs, pays out theft awards, and has collected and paid out over $1.5 million in natural disaster relief for wildfires and flooding. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association also hosts the annual WRCA Sanction Ranch Rodeo exclusively for Oklahoma ranch teams. Over $600,000 of the proceeds of this event have been given to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation. It's always a great day to become a member, so go to www.okcattlemen.org or call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. And that's Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Let's see what's happening with the, let's update the grain report real quick, and that'll have the cattle in there, and briefly go over some of the grains from today. Right now, corn for July is 592, up 6. September's 516. Soybeans for July, 1405, up over 15. August is 1330. Corn's taking a pretty good hit here lately. Maybe I shouldn't have planted it. I don't know. We'll see. Soybean meal, July 432.70. August 424.50. September 411.80. Soybean oil for July, 49.81. Hard red winter wheat right now for July, 901, up 24 today so far. September's up 26 at 887. Oats are even up 4 for July at 339. September, 348. Live cattle for June, 164.30. It's actually the only number on my board right now besides Japanese yen that's in the red, and it's not too bad. August, 162.45, even for the day. October live cattle, 166.87. December's 170.97. Feeder cattle for May, 206.22. August, 230.77. Nice number for August. Lean hogs are even up. June, 86.07. July is 87.42. August is 87.75. Cotton hanging in there around the 80-cent mark for both July and August, or I'm sorry, October. Sugar. Sugar's over 26 cents a pound for July. Anyway, crude oil, West Texas Intermediate for July is up $1.37 today at 71.41. July, 71.39. Natural gas, June, 2.34, up a little bit today, up about 8 cents actually. July is 2.51 and August is 2.59. S&P, NASDAQ, Dow are all in the green today. For anybody that cares, Japanese yen is down. It's the only currency in the red today in the world, and it's down 0.001650 if you care. There you have it. All right, let's see what happened last week in Texas and Oklahoma. I did Texas first last week. Let's go with Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers were mostly steady. Feeder heifers steady to $3 higher. Stocker steers and steer calves steady to $5 higher. Stocker heifers and heifer calves steady to $2 higher. Demand was moderate for feeder cattle. Demand moderate to good for cattle suitable for grass. Rains fell across much of the extreme drought area of the state, and more is expected. Slaughter cattle prices continue to slide as we head into the heavily discounted June board. Beef prices and beef demand continue to hold its own, though, as we're moving into the grilling season. Slaughter cows sold steady to $2 higher. Slaughter bulls a buck higher. Packer demand was moderate. Demand was good for replacement cows. Supply included 91% feeder cattle, 8% slaughter cattle, and 1% replacement cattle. All right, 27,770 head sold last week in Oklahoma compared to 25,957 the week before, almost 29,000 a year ago. Here are just a few of the prices. The 2 to 3 weight steers were anywhere from $3 to $327.50. The 3 to 4 weight steers was anywhere from $260 to $311. The 4 to 5 weights, let me get it down here, were anywhere from $270, $245, $270. Top end on it looks like it was $302.50, and then were fancy ones. And the 5 weights, we got anywhere from $221. To 274 was the top end on those, and them was good old boys right there. 526 weights average $257.94, but the top end of them brought 270. So there you go. Okay, Texas. Let's go to Texas. Compared to last week, feeder cattle and calves sold mostly steady. Demand was moderate to good for feeder cattle, but good for lightweight cattle suitable for grass. Last week's moisture combined with warm weather has improved grass pasture some. We'll get to that here shortly. Slaughter cows and bulls sold mostly steady with moderate demand. Supply included 82% feeder, 16% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement. They sold 5,300 head last week in Texas compared to 4,600 the week before and over 6,000 head last year. Let's check out some of the prices here, a few of them. Let's go with the 4 weights. 4 to 5 weights was bringing anywhere from $244 to $288. These are on steers. 5 to 6 weights were bringing anywhere from $222. Top end I see there is $267. 6 to 7 weights, anywhere from $210 to $240. 7 weights, $193 to $219. 8 weight steers were bringing anywhere from $180 to $204. And then they had some 9 weights, looked like they were bringing $189. And they had 55 head that weighed 1,027, brought $178.25. So there you go. Let's see what kind of rainfalls we've been getting all around there. Got 2 1/10 at Sayre, 0.8 inches or 8,100s or 800 1,000s northwest of Cheyenne in the last 3 days. 0.61 inches north of Visalie. And then I wanted to wish you congratulations on the 2-year radio anniversary from the show last week. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Anyway, we got rainfall amounts coming in all over the place. All right, let me get rid of that. Let's check out this drought monitor real quick. I'm sure it's going to change this week, but this drought is far from over, everybody. We all know that. Some people, just a couple small areas, got some pond fillers, but rest of it, it's soaking in. It's good. We're not complaining, but now we need is a frog pond rain, and I don't want to say the rest of it on the show. Anyway, we need a good runoff rain. Panhandle of Oklahoma and all along the Oklahoma-Kansas state line and a little bit of the north central part of the Texas Panhandle are all still in a D4 exceptional drought. All of western Oklahoma, except for a little bit of either Beckham or Roger Mills, I can't zoom in on that, I wish I could, is in a D3, and that little spot in Roger Mills or Beckham is in a D2. You're still in a drought, don't worry. Most of the Texas Panhandle, over half of it is in a D2, and a lot of it's in the D3. But, man, right there in northwestern Oklahoma, I know you guys got a little bit of rain the other day, but you could sure use some of this that the central Oklahoma got over the weekend. Maybe it's coming. It's coming. Anyway, well, let's take an OCA break. When we come back, we'll talk about some farm stuff. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Doug Gray Auto Group in Elk City and Sayre would like to thank everyone for making us number one. For the best deals on a new or pre-owned Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Ram, Jeep, Dodge, or Chrysler, nobody treats you better than Doug Gray. With convenient locations in Elk City and Sayre for sales, parts, and award-winning service, we make it easy. Thanks again, and visit us online at DougGrayAutoGroup.com.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow, gives them a little relief, knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The last thing you want after completing a well is to leave money on the table. However, many drilling companies do just that within the first 30 days of production. It's critical to hire well-trained operators with good quality equipment to give you the right kind of data you need to maximize production from day one. Prime Well Solutions specializes in flowback, sand separation, and well testing specific to the unique needs of your well. In Oklahoma, West Texas, and New Mexico, Prime Well Solutions has you covered. Find them online at primewellsolutions.com.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mickey asked the questions. He wants to make sure things were properly insured as far as values, not to be too high necessarily. You know, a lot of people are probably going to try to get them on up there where the premium is higher, and Mickey wasn't that way. He wanted real values, didn't want me paying any more premium than I needed to pay, but wanted me properly insured. If you start missing things by $1,000 or $10,000, that adds up in a hurry. Either you'll be underinsured and you'll be disappointed, or you're going to be overinsured and paying too much premium anyways. And Mickey made it a point that we nailed it on the head on every little last piece that I had. He took the time to do that. He made sure it was right. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association Hour. I picked Sealing, Oklahoma for your Northwest Oklahoma and Northeastern Texas Panhandle forecast. Currently at Sealing at 64. Dew point's 58, humidity's 80%. In the last 24 hours, you've got 7/100 of an inch. Winds out of the northwest at 13 with gusts up to 19. Sunset tonight, 8:35. Today, mostly cloudy, 70 degrees. North winds. Tomorrow, north winds, not as high as today, but 78. 80 degrees come Wednesday. Wednesday night, the rain chances move back in, 30%. Thursday, you got a 40% chance of thunderstorms and 79. Thursday night, 70% chance of rain. Friday, 70% chance of thunderstorms are likely. High up 74 degrees, and that's your forecast for Sealing, Oklahoma. All right, let's see, where do I want to start out? There's all kinds of things I want to talk about. First, what foods are people buying at dollar stores? 50% of those surveyed reported that a full-service grocery would be a store would be a draw. And this is a deal that they did. A market for an expanded grocery selection at dollar stores potentially exists, especially with consumers who live less than 10 minutes away, according to data reported in the April Consumer Food Insights report. The survey-based report out of Purdue University Center for Food Demand Analysis and Sustainability assesses food spending, consumer satisfaction and values, support of agriculture and food policies, and trust in information sources. Purdue experts conducted and evaluated the survey, which included 1,200 consumers across the United States. April's report accesses differences in food behaviors by food security status rather than demographics. The report included the first question center researchers have asked about consumer behavior and food selection at the dollar stores. What foods are Americans buying at dollar stores? I knew the answer before I even seen this chart. 59% are buying snack foods, 54% are buying candy, 54% are buying beverages, 24% sweet foods, 23% canned foods, 20% frozen foods, 19% milk, 18% packaged meals, 16% eggs, 6% baby foods, and 3% other foods. Fresh fruit and vegetables come in there about 11%. More than half of the Americans have recently shopped at a dollar store, says Jason Lusk, the head and distinguished professor of agriculture economics at Purdue, who leads the center. When it comes to food, many of these purchases are just snack items. If consumers do pick up more food at a dollar store, it makes sense that people typically buy canned or frozen food since they're are the easiest options for the dollar stores to stock. While only a small percentage of consumers shop for groceries at dollar stores, there could be a market for an expanded food selection since 50% of those surveyed reported that a full-service grocery store would be a draw. Plus, nearly 60% of the consumers say that they live within 10 minutes of a dollar store, which has potential for capitalizing on assess issues. In the food spending category, the slow easing of food inflation continues. Data from this summer's report will provide a helpful picture on how consumers are doing. If people go out and spend more at bars and restaurants, as one would expect, then we could say the consumers are feeling fairly confident. But if food away from the home spending does not increase in our data, especially as food away from home inflation continues to pick up according to official measures, then we might have some questions. The Purdue researchers are unable to compare current responses to times of low inflation. Even so, Lusk said, it seems that consumers have some degree of elevated inflation baked in their expectations with their 4.3% estimation of future inflation. Total food spending is up 7% from last year. Vegetables and fruits are the most popular organic items, but less than a third of the customers often or always choose organic. I haven't met my wife, she's 100%. The food behaviors of food secure and insecure households differ a little bit, not much, on many common shopping choices. Still, it's important to recognize the difference that does exist between the households, says Sam Poslin, a food and ag survey scientist for the center and co-author of this report. Last but not least, those facing very low food security are in more kind of a precarious place. Over 40% rely on food aid, and about 80% report effectively living paycheck to paycheck with regards to food purchasing. They also have more negative view towards their own diets, when we might expect would be a more cumulative negative effect on overall well-being. They eat at home more, prefer generic brands, and aren't buying more expensive products like wild-caught fish or organics as much. So there you go. That's what's happening at the dollar stores. And there's more being built every day, as you guys well know. All right. Before we go to break, I got breaking news for you guys. Meat produced from artificially cultured cells could be up to 25% worse for the environment than standard beef, new research has found. And I found this article in the Grocery Gazette. It's a deal comes out every month, and I read it. Such products have been seen as more sustainable alternative to ordinary meat because the production of it uses less water, antibiotics, and land than rearing real livestock. However, the study found that because the liquid used to grow the product contains salt, amino acids, and vitamins that all require energy-intensive techniques, it actually comes with more environmental costs. Some studies have suggested that as research develops, lab-grown meat will eventually have a low carbon footprint than the traditional meat. In May last year, industrial leaders said that the post-Britain could become a world leader in Brexit. Britain could become a world leader in cultured meat. In November 2022, the FDA declared that a lab-grown meat by the company Upside Food was safe for human consumption, which means that the product shortly could be widely available in UK supermarkets. Plant-based options such as those from the brand Beyond Meat are already available across the big four supermarkets: Tesco, Aldi, Estes. Anyway, they're already finding out it's not a cool thing. So anyway, you know me, buy local beef. Get her processed local. Well, let's take an OCA break. When I come back, I want to give you your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Range Forecast, tell you just a little bit about Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association scholarship deadline that's coming up June 1st. And we got a couple more things to talk about before we get the show over today.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Come and get it. Are you a farmer or livestock producer? Then you're invited to attend one of several ribeye steak dinners and informational meetings courtesy of Ag Defense Risk Management. They'll be sharing the latest details on recent changes to subsidized programs offered by the USDA through federal crop insurance that helps to manage risk you face related to lack of rainfall and falling cattle prices. Leave your checkbooks at home and plan on attending their next meeting Tuesday, May 16th at 2M Ranch and Home, located at 120 North 4th Street in Sayre. Ribeyes will be served at 6:30 p.m. RSVP is not required. For more information, visit their website at agdefenserm.com or call 580-454-4367. Best defense is Ag Defense. Ag Defense is an equal opportunity employer. Hope to see you there.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Anytime Jimmy Clark enters a room, he don't turn the lights on. He turns the dark off. Stewards of the land, this is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 5th. 1,395 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 238 brought 318. 22 at 427 brought 286. 5 at 502 brought 253. 8 at 581 brought 240. 4 at 620 brought 220. 9 at 634 brought 238. 8 at 746 brought 207. 7 head of heifers at 266 brought 294. 5 at 347 brought 244. 6 at 506 brought 222. 3 at 517 brought 227. 8 at 531 brought 219. 4 at 696 brought 189.50. 16 at 891 brought 170. Butcher cows were 11 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 126. Bred cows were 960 to 1650. Pairs brought 1150 to 2225. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095. All right, Jimmy, go ahead and turn the dark back on.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Hour. I picked Altus, Oklahoma for your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. 71 degrees, dew point is 64, humidity is 79, 24-hour rainfall, 0.95 inches, 95 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 24 hours. Winds are out of the north at 17 miles an hour, sunset at 8:32 tonight. Today, 40% chance of showers, 76 for high, 81 tomorrow and sunny, partly sunny Wednesday, 82. Thursday, 30% chance of showers, 84. Thursday night, rain chances continue to climb to 40%. Friday, 70% chance of thunderstorms with a high around 84 degrees. And that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. You guys been down there today? It'd be a really good day to go shopping. It's wet everywhere. I know you're not doing nothing. Go down there. I know you need to get something to fix up, something for the wife in the house, or you need something to fix in the barn. Go get her while you're there. Shop around outside. They got panels, pre-made panels, head gates, feed. They got it all inside. Straight back. Just walk in, walk by the cash register like you know what you're doing, and head back to the back room where the guns are and the ammo and the gun safes and the boots and everything else. And they got some really good spotlights and small LED flashlights back there made by Browning. I have one in the house. I got one in my truck, and I've had them for 3 years now. And I think my little flashlight's like 1,100 lumas. And you can see a long ways with that thing. And it's just easy to charge. Go check them out at the Hobart Farm and Garden. Use them for baling hay, looking for your cows when somebody left the gate open or something. I don't know. Go buy you one. They're really cool. They're not $5.99 either. $5.99. A good flashlight costs good money. So go figure it out. All right, let's see what's going on here. Supply chain, labor shortages, also steel limitations to manufacturers. I don't think we're out all, we're not out of this frying pan yet. The pandemic may no longer be an issue facing machinery manufacturers, but the supply chain is still a ways off from a full recovery. Microchips have been one of the major bottlenecks in manufacturing, but are not the sole problem in the supply chain, says Kurt Blade, Senior Vice President for the Agriculture Services and Forestry at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, the AEM. Plastics are hard to come by, with rubber, especially rubber tracks, almost non-existent right now, according to Blades. Most of the wiring harnesses used in off-road equipment are manufactured in Ukraine, which has been disrupted by the war. weather events in Texas and Louisiana shut down chemical plants that produce stuff, a lot of the key chemical components to make foam, leaving cushions in short supply, and go on and on. Prices for raw materials are still well above pre-pandemic levels across the board, according to the AEM. The price of petroleum is an early indicator of lots of other things, including resins, plastics, and steel. Crude oil was $60 a barrel in 2019, falling to $40 in 2020 due to low consumption, rising to $70 in 2021, $100 in 2022, and falling back to $90 in 2023. And now we're down to about $73 already. Cold rolled steel raw materials were $600 per ton in 2019, $640 in 2020, spiking to $12,000 or $1,230 in 21, $1,340 in 2022, finally recovering a little bit right now at 2023 is at $700 a ton. Raw rubber costs were on the rise before the pandemic at $140 per ton in 19. Prices fell to $120 in 2020. How about that? All those 20s in there confuse you. $120 in the year 2020. How's that? Before rising to $150 in 21, $160 in 22, and now it's $140 in 23. Raw plastic was $210 per ton in 19, $270 in 20, $370 in 21. $430 in 2022, and we're back down a little bit, not much, at $370 per ton for 23. Anyways, been dudes. Labor shortages. The labor shortage is a key issue in the supply chain recovery, says Corey Clausen, president of Custom Roto Mo, a company that produces fuel tanks and spouts for Claus combines. People equals production capacity. It's turned into a point where we didn't even have enough people to handle all the demand. It turned into a battle for skilled labor, and when it turns into a battle, wages went up dramatically. The ag industry is facing severe shortages with only one job seeker for every two open positions in the United States, according to Miranda Driver of Cal Ag Jobs. 40% of new ag jobs go unfilled each year, with a forecast at 59,400 annual ag jobs opening between 2020 and 2025, according to Purdue University. Wage inflation is a factor, but attitudes have shifted in the workforce where people don't want to work the same hours they used to. That's what you get when you do it from home. Anyway, we have thousands of members at AEM that and every single one of them is hiring. Every equipment dealer, every service technician, every customer that operates that equipment, it's more challenging in rural areas than it is in urban areas. For generations, there have been focus on getting a four-year degree out of high school, resulting in a lack of people who take on trades crucial to the ag industry, according to Rabbi. We will continue to look at what we can do on the machine side to lessen the inherent reliability on labor. That's the technology that allows us to do more with the combine, run fewer combines with fewer drivers. Last but not least, labor is not just short in manufacturing. Freight companies are facing shortages as well, impacting delivery time for global manufacturing. Limited availability of containers and shipping vessels combined with the increase in oil prices has created a tremendous backlog for delivering goods. And I'm going to say with all these rains we're getting over in eastern Oklahoma and north of there, with the Mississippi on the rise, there's going to be some issues trying to get some fertilizer up to Tulsa for our people out here in western Oklahoma to get fertilizer. Lead times spiked to basically double what they are now. But if you want to get something shipped and you go to the store to ship it off or somewhere to get it shipped off, it's $20, and we can't guarantee when it'd be there. but for $50, we can guarantee it to be there tomorrow, if you get my point. Have you guys ran across that yet? Well, I have. Prior to the pandemic in 2019, Europe to East Coast shipping took 4 weeks. This spiked to 10 weeks between 20 and 2022, and has only recovered to 6 weeks in 2023. Freight cost per container has shown even worse recovery. At the start of 2020, costs were $4,500 per container. This spiked to $12,500 per container between 21 and 22, and has only gone back down to $10,200 in 2023. Get some of that. Anyways, it continues, people. Nothing's changing quite yet. I see more vehicles out on car lots now than I did a couple years ago, but which is good. I hope everything's doing. You guys probably heard about this. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday preserved a California law banning the sale of pork in America's most populous state from pigs kept in tightly confined spaces, rejecting an industry challenge claiming that voter-backed animal welfare measure and regulates out-of-state farmers. The justices vote 5-4 to uphold a lower court's dismissal of the lawsuit by the National Pork Producers Council and American Farm Bureau Federation, seeking to validate the law, but they were divided in their reasons for doing so. The pork industry has argued that the measure violated a U.S. Constitution provision called the Commerce Clause that courts have interpreted as empowering the federal government, not states, to regulate interstate commerce. I can just tell you that the looks like the pig delivery, pork delivery to California is going to slow way down. I don't see these producers out here in Iowa and Oklahoma and Kansas bowing to that. Problem is, according to this other deal, is only 1% of the hogs are produced, and pork production is in Oklahoma, in California, but they consume 13% of the pork, and that's a lot. Got to understand that. So anyway, the pork producer said they were very disappointed with the Supreme Court's opinion, allowing state overreach will increase prices for consumers and drive small farms out of business, leading to more consolidation. We are still evaluating the court's full opinion to understand all the implications, but MPPC will continue to fight for our nation's pork farmers and American families against misguided regulation, says Missouri pork producer Scott Hayes, who serves as the National Pork Producers Council president, and also Chuck Grassley from Iowa. He was pretty disappointed, if you check him out on Twitter. The Supreme Court's decision sets a dangerous precedent for animal rights extremist groups to target other states with similar ballot initiatives. And they've got one in Massachusetts, I think, going on right now. But I think Massachusetts wised up a little bit. They figured out some other stuff. I can't remember what it was. I've come across it, I'll share it with you. Animal care is too important of a topic to be dictated by oversimplified legislation based on emotion. Rather, it needs to be based on science and research, urges leaders. And there you have it. That's what's going on. Hey, quickly, before the show goes over, I wanted to go over this with you real quick, because it affects a bunch of you kids out there. Your students, your children, whatever. The deadline is coming up June 1st, so you can go on OklahomaCattleman.org/scholarship opportunities and go to the menu. But the Gephardt Legacy Scholarship Fund is administered through the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation, the OCF. Applicants must be able to show experience, involvement in cattle, industrial leadership activities, and must be members in good standing with the OCA or their state cattlemen's association. Scholarships are for high school seniors, and undergrad students are common. Scholarships for those pursuing a postgraduate degree is not as common, but still virtually important. Richard Gephardt was a unique individual who earned several degrees in his lifetime. The Gephardt family has chosen to honor their loved one by providing a scholarship as unique as Richard Gephardt's legacy. Check it out. Oklahoma Cattlemen's OCA. And get on their webpage and look for scholarships. And deadline's coming up here in 2 weeks. You only got 2 weeks left. See you guys tomorrow. Happy Monday, as Ms. Jill Metter would say. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX.
Country music.
You're the-